Now, y'all gotta be able to hear me now. I see it coming through. Oh my God. I apologize, y'all. I'm gonna have to restart the damn show. Y'all sitting up here reading my lips, man. This is some ghetto shit. This is with, let me tell y'all something. I'm not embarrassed by this because I'm getting it out of the mud. Everything you see here is 100% me. And anytime I make these mistakes, I want to tell anybody with a dream, anybody out there with a dream, you keep going. Don't you dare stop and you keep figuring it out. Because I'm not going in no studio to pay nobody no $300 an hour that can do what I do. And yes, I will make mistakes, but I will learn from every single mistake. So, as I was saying before this video was playing, and I'm gonna remove this. And so we go out to start the show. This is gonna be a long show tonight, so y'all just buckle up and do whatever you gotta do. But as I was saying, I was unable to do the podcast yesterday because I was having my new raggedy Samsung refrigerator delivered. I have a Samsung refrigerator with the screen, which is an Android refrigerator. Apple needs to make a refrigerator. It's the smart one. It's pretty. It has all the gadgets, and it can do Spotify and YouTube. But I was unable to keep my food cold, so I called Samsung. Samsung said, "Cool." They sent somebody out to check it. They said, "We're gonna send you a new refrigerator." I said, "Great." It took over a month. So we were in here living out of coolers. I had to go to the store. I had to get ice every single day. I had to get ice back and forth to the store to the point where the cashiers were looking at me like, I don't know if he has bodies in there, but something isn't right. Because I went to the same Publix every day to get the ice. And we finally got the refrigerator. They brought it in on Monday. We missed Thanksgiving. They bought the refrigerator in. It took them 2 hours to install the refrigerator. Now, typically, you would think the refrigerator is something you'd plug into the wall, man, and it starts working. But they had to, damn, they pulled my door off the hinges to walk it through. They did a lot. And what was so scary about the installation of this new refrigerator was when one of the men looked at me and said, "Hey man, you got an Allen wrench?" And they said that in the middle of water being on the floor and my doors off the hinges. So you could imagine, I screamed. Okay? But we got it. Hopefully it'll last. If it does not, I bought a $600 backup refrigerator to place into my garage where we could put some food and everything in. So I don't know. But if you're looking towards getting a Samsung refrigerator with the screen and all the fancy stuff, I will just say buyer beware. Buyer beware. They gave me a new upgraded model. I don't know how long it's going to last. I can't tell you. But if this one breaks, I'm going to go on a tirade on Samsung and their refrigerators to the end of time. I can promise you that. Now, with that being said, we were talking about the Young Thug prosecution. As you know, YSL Young Thug is in court. He's in trial. I've been watching some of the clips, and from what I can see, this prosecution does not look competent. They look sloppy. They don't have their stuff together. The judge is telling them what to do. They just can't seem to get it together. And it looks to be as if this prosecution, I don't know these people. I am not in the legal profession. I'm just a small-time comic that tells jokes. Okay? But from what I can see, it seems as if they earned their legal degrees from ICDC College and Little Romeo was their professor because it's terrible. I'm going to play this tape again to show you what I saw. This is a tape of the judge going in on these attorneys for not turning in certain documents, which later led the defense attorney to call a mistrial. Bill Hathaway, I will try to get a Sub-Zero. I just got the Samsung because it was pretty. It had the gadgetry. But let's watch this clip and we're going to get back to talking about the refrigerator. This is the incompetent prosecution in the Young Thug trial. Here we go.
What you will not hear any evidence of is that the defendants were not involved in a criminal street gang. You will not hear any evidence that they did not commit crimes on behalf of YSL. And as I stated to you earlier, what I'm saying to you now is
let me object to that statement, please. Is burden shifting?
Object basis?
Burden shifting? And under Parker versus the state at 277.
Why don't we take that up, then? I'll note your objection. I'm sustaining the objection. Why don't you rephrase, madam?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to explain to you at the appropriate time, ladies and gentlemen, what the burden is in this case. Remember what I told you earlier, that the burden never shifts to the defendants to prove for certain innocence, they're presumed innocent, and it's only until you hear evidence that you decide is sufficient, and I'll instruct you on how you're supposed to do that at a later point in time, okay? All right.
The evidence will show that why it's...
Okay, this wasn't necessarily him fussing with them, but there are other clips of him fussing. Also, Brian Steele, Young Thug's lawyer, had this to say about him today. Let's just watch this real quick.
Now, some of you read books about Tupac and what it meant to be thug-like. Thug life, the hate you give little infants, Fs, everyone. Meaning discrimination and racism hurts all of us. We teach that to our kids. That was not what Thug meant to Jeffrey. Thug meant and means to Jeffrey something very personal. It was his path. If he could ever make it as a musical artist and help his family, himself, and as many others out of this endless cycle of hopelessness, he would be truly humble under God. That's what Thug means.
Wow. He said it meant truly humble under God. This is, so let me get this right. Young Thug is some type of youth pastor who in the community, blood didn't represent a gang. It represented the blood of Christ. And Young Thug, the heavens under God, came to help the youth. And Brian Steele is pouring this shit on. But shout out to him. That's what he's supposed to do as a prosecuting attorney. And I guess Young Thug will be reading Bible passages as we go through with this trial. But, I mean, I have to give it to Brian Steele for that. And we're all gonna wink, wink, and agree, okay, that this is all entertainment. None of this happened. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. Young Thug is the man of Jesus and the Lord. And this is how it goes when you're in a court of law. Like when you're in court, everybody want to find the Lord. You want to push. Nobody wants to be real anymore. But why you don't want to be real and stand on the shit you've been standing on, man? Come on! But what's going to end up happening? Unfortunately, I hate I hollered. My wife told me don't be hollering on these podcasts. I'm thinking this case, this is the second time it's a mistrial. talked to my lawyer, a couple of my lawyer friends who said they feel that the prosecution is being overzealous and prideful, and they're going to blow this case. I believe Young Thug will walk free, and niggas in the street will praise him like he is Jesus. The killings will return, and the community will go into peril. But this is the court of law, and it all boils down to who has the most money. Now, the goons around him, they're going to probably lose their lives in freedom because they want to be real niggas. And you're going to be in the fucking penitentiary. And you're going to have husbands in there to help you. This is what's going to happen. So I think Young Thug will walk. I don't think any of this shit is going to stick. I could be wrong. I'm just an idiot on the mic. I'm a comic. I don't know. So, but from what I can see, and what I can see in the incompetency of the prosecutors, bro, he's going to walk. As a matter of fact, I had tweeted today, it's like, bro, just let the man go home. Get this shit over with, because nothing seems like it's going to stick. I don't see it, unless they have like some real piece of evidence that they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he is somehow the leader of YSL, which they said is not, it doesn't mean a gang. It only stands for Yves Saint Laurent, which Brian Steele said that it's definitely Yves Saint Laurent. So I'm guessing maybe Yves Saint Laurent can come and sue him for his royalties, music, and everything he's been repping. I don't know. But this is the way this case is going. And I was just disturbed about it, and I wanted to get in here to talk. So let's just move along. There's other things I need to talk about, such as T.I.'s son, who had a meltdown. T.I.'s son, King, I believe it's King. King had a meltdown at a basketball game where Tip had to grab this boy up. Because for whatever reason, the boy wants the world to know that he grew up in the trenches and in the hood. And he was only dropped off over there when they were filming the reality show. It was the only time he was even at the mansion. But he lived with grandma in a bando. So this is the narrative that the young brother is preaching. Now, to me, this is a child. I have empathy for children. I don't know King's actual age. I have empathy, but he's crying out for something. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know what I mean? But my message to him is, be man, you should be proud that your parents work so hard to give you this rich and easy life. Okay. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. You know, my father worked at Wonder Bread. My mom worked at Cook County. We didn't have a lot, but we had a lot of love. I was in the neighborhood. Should I wear that as a badge of honor? And we also need to question ourselves as Black people as to why do we somehow equate growing up in the hood and the projects as something great? It's not. It's an unfortunate circumstance. That's what it is. And I grew up in that shit, but it's what it is. I'm not necessarily dismissing where I'm from or anything like that. But What is this thing about our culture and subculture where kids want to wear pissy hallways living in the projects as some badge of honor? As if to say you grew up in the hood, you grew up in a bando, you grew up in the trap, like you're going to walk into a bank and they're going to give you an award. What does he want? Award? I was T.I. and that was my son. I have only one son. That's his heart. But if my son, as hard as I'm working to get us the greater pastures, greener pastures, supposed to act like he live in the hood or the trap. We gonna go. What I'm gonna do is drop his ass off in there. I'm gonna take the jewelry, the money, whatever car I gave him, clothes, drop his ass off right over there off Hollowell and drive off on the horn and say good luck. I'll add, because this is what you want, I'm gonna give it to you. Because there are a lot of us who suffer in these conditions. They don't want to be there. It's not a personal earth that wakes up and says, hey, I want to be a migrant slave in Dubai. It work in the desert all day. Or some ghetto of Africa. Some ghetto. No. Be proud of where you come from. And even if you come from that, but as Black people, we cannot continuously be like, yeah, I'm from the hood. If you come to me as a grown-ass Black man and you start your street shit with me and you want to roll that, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care, bro. That shit don't mean nothing to me. I give a fuck about a tough street nigga. I don't care. I'm a white person. Talk to me how you do them old white people. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep it a bean. Like, all these motherfuckers that want to be street, they want to be street. There's no honor amongst thieves, man. Ain't no honor amongst thieves. You can't hold this shit as no badge of honor. Don't work. Don't work. I got a lot of people I knew, grew up with, in the cemetery right now because they want to hold it down and live life in the cemetery, in the penitentiary, man. It ain't worth it. How many more stories you got to hear? How many more times Wallow got to show up and talk to a young man for an hour and a half before he go to the penitentiary? How many more times? How many more times I got to hear the excuse? You grew up in the hood. You didn't have no daddy, no mama, the school. We all came from. We all from. Now what? Now what? You from it, I'm from, we all from. What's your excuse? Because what is happening in this country, and this is a message to all my brothers and sisters, African Americans, people, descendants of slavery, this is what's happening. Here's some truth for your ass. You have an increase of immigrants, big increase of Africans, of West Indians, of Haitians, who look just like us, who came from conditions, who are amassing wealth and power, who will be in those positions of power. And that white boogeyman is going to be long gone. And they are not going to care about your story or your excuse. They're not going to care about it. They gonna look at you and say, we didn't have running water where I'm from. But we got to this country and made it happen. Remember this, in 10 years, you can walk with your picket sign, you can hold hands, you can do whatever you want. But in the words of Deion Sanders, they coming. So remember what I'm telling you, they coming. And I'm your brother. I'm your brother. They call me the coon word all the time, but I'm keeping it a buck. I see this shit. I see the writing on the wall. I see the NBA changing. I see the NBA. You got your top five players are foreign, bro, are international right now. That's what you got. This is happening in front of our eyes. So get ready. Throw the excuses out the window, man. We all poor. We all messed up. All of us. All of us. We can all sing that song. But it's what you do with it. So I will keep on going. My prayers go out to the young brother Ken. And you can't You know, a lot of people want to question the parenting of T.I. and Tiny, but you can't question that because, you know, the other children are doing well. They're not, you know, they're doing good. So this particular young man has some issues that need to be addressed, and my prayers go out to him. And when I talk to T.I., we will have this conversation. Andre 3000 outsold everybody with his flute album. Shout out to him. And I would also like to say that hip hop had a great, great run. And at 50 years old, hip hop had a heart attack in this long gone. Andre 3000 outsold everybody with a damn flute. To those rappers, don't go picking up the flute. Just know it's cooked. It's cooked, man. Like, and I would love to get into the ears of some of the youth. I mean, I don't really, because I cry, I often holler this out, but I'm an elder statesman. I'm an old black man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be the guy on the porch, but it just seems to me as if hip hop is cooked. When I talk to some of the young people, they're listening to old school. They listen to our 90s music. They listen to the shit we grew up on. And even a lot of the 90% of the stuff we grew up on was jacked from the 70s and 80s. The 90s was just a big remix of the 70s and 80s. And this current era we're in with music, I don't even know what it is. It's just sounds. To me, it's foreign sounds and weird noises and hollering and people running. And I don't know what's going on. I often listen to podcasts in the car. But Andre 3000 outsold everybody. And I want to pull up. Let me see if I can do a Google search. Yeah. Andre, let's go over the list of who he outsold here. Andre 3000 with his flute album sold 24,000 copies. Okay. He outsold Nas, which is the God MC. He outsold Logic. He outsold Lil TJ, who I've never heard of. He outsold SG, Ice Spice, Lil Wayne, Kodak Black, Macklemore, Ray Sherman, West Side Gun, French Montana, Boston Richie, Yo Gotti, and DJ Drama. And I guess the Rick Ross and Meek Mill album, I guess, is better for now. Rick Ross, Meek Mill album sales. I think they did 35,000. Okay. But I believe they're saying that they own their masters, which all the money went into their pockets. Okay. But it's what it is. Hip hop is gone. Never coming back. I listen to the blues. I listen to old school R&B, 80s music, 70s disco, Donna Summer. That's what I listen to. And, then understandably so. We know why hip hop is gone to see its glory and gone on the greener pastures. It's because my generation, which would be Generation X. Yeah, I'm Generation X. My generation, who really grew up in the crack era, in the crack epidemic, who had limited options. There was no YouTube, no internet. We were the generation that our mamas didn't want to buy us sneakers. So that's why we got all these sneakers now. And we birthed hip hop. But now we worked very hard and we went through hell and hot water so our children wouldn't have to live that. And this new generation is our children. And there are more black fathers in the household than there have ever been at any time. There's more black fathers in these children's lives. Do not let the rhetoric of the media tell you otherwise, because black fathers are here. Every day I pick my son up, I'm under a tree with 10 other black daddies. We there to pick our babies up. So it's just a different game. And I just don't think a lot of the youth is actually even speaking their truths. Because when you got a kid like King, and then you got a kid like Michael Irvin's son that grew up in privilege, somehow wanting to be cool or fit in by saying they grew up in utter poverty, which speaks to us as a people, because we got to get out of that mindset and we have to reject, we have to totally reject this subculture. I don't care. And you talking to somebody, even though I'm educated, I do all kind of rooms, comedy club, I can go to the hood and do it. So that's what it be. So shout out to Prince Roman, who says he makes $300 million in real estate investments a month and not missing a decimal point. Okay, you're just being sarcastic from when I did the Floyd Mayweather post, where Floyd Mayweather said he made $300 million a month. And I pulled my glasses down to the tip of my nose and said, your math is not mathing. Andre 3000's album is wonderful. And I think Andre 3000, to me, man, is the definition of happiness. To me, Andre 3000 is the definition of freedom. He is a guy that's just honest with himself, who said, listen, what I'm going to rap about? A colonoscopy? Now, me personally, just having my colonoscopy, nothing would make me happier than for Andre 3000 to rap about a colonoscopy, because that would make me and other dads cool. You know what I'm saying? And everybody will want a colonoscopy, which is a great thing, and people need to get them, because some polyps pop up. You don't know if you got them. We drinking, we on these phones, all this radiation. Who knows? But that's what it is. But he spoke truth to that by saying, why would I be right? I don't have nothing to talk about. And the man just seems in just utter peace playing his flute. Andre 3000 put that album out and didn't care if it sold one copy. And now he's walking in Japan and different countries and just loving and enjoying life. And I can't do nothing but salute him and, you know, just hope to find that inner peace. So he's just changed his name to Inner Peace 3000 because he's found it. I got a bone to pick. Malika Andrews, you got this guy, this kid, Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is an NBA basketball player. I guess he's 21 years old, but from Australia. Josh Giddey has been seen messing with a minor, a 15 to 16 year old. Malika Andrews is a sports analyst. I don't know exactly what show she's on. She's on one of the shows. I can't think of the name of that particular show. But Malika is very, very voiceful when black athletes have issues, stemming from Ja Morant with the gun charge, Kyrie Irving. She has a lot of issues with our black athletes. And I want to, what is this? That. Okay, there we go. So she has a lot of issues with our black athletes. And for whatever reason, she doesn't seem to want to talk about this particular issue in regards to Josh Giddey. So let me just pull this up. We're going to share the screen real quick. Y'all bear with me. We're going to share this screen. And let's just see what's going on with the good brother Josh Giddey. This is Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey looks like a lesbian white woman. Let's just go over what USA Today has to say about Josh Giddey. The NBA began looking into anonymous claims made on social media that alleged Oklahoma City Thunder guard Josh Giddey had an inappropriate relationship with an underage female. Giddey practiced Friday and played in the Thunder's game Saturday. He is also expected to play in Oklahoma City's game Tuesday, Minnesota. Giddey and the Thunder address the situation without saying much. The Thunder are 11-5, winners of 8 of their past 10 games, and in second place in the Western Conference ahead of Tuesday's matchup against the first place Timberwolves. Here's what we know about the Giddey situation. Social media posts show a man who appears to be Giddey with the female in the photos videos, but it's unclear when or where they were taken. The person who originally posted the images deleted them, but not before they were saved by others. The images began showing up on social media channels as Thanksgiving weekend began, and the league responded on Friday. Oklahoma City coach Mark Daynault was asked about Giddey's status before Saturday's loss of six. He said, available to play, will play, no change. The status of basketball sample, still I have no comment on anything else. He added, it's obviously a league matter at this point. The Thunder made Giddey available to the media at Friday's practice, and he declined to address appeared on social media. I understand the question, but there's no comment right now. Okay, he had 10 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, and the Thunder's 127-120 loss to Philadelphia. So, the NBA confirms looking to these allegations, but it generally does not give incremental updates to this type of situations. Come on. Who is Josh Giddey, man? Okay, let's get to what happened. But the Thunder winning, we're getting alongside. But come on, man. They are suppressing this. What's the story? Don't do that. Don't suppress. NBA has a misogyny problem. Now, let's get to TMZ. TMZ really got what's going on. Subject of police inquiry over potential underage relationship. And the NBA should be ashamed of itself for having these people suppress this. Thunder head coach. All right. Giddey will be available for the game. The allegations over the past week. Anonymous accounts accused a 21-year-old Australian athlete of having an intimate relationship with a minor based in California. Pictures and videos Giddey with an alleged underage girl spread quickly online. The NBA announced on Friday was looking into the matter, but so far Giddey has remained active with the Thunder as declined to speak. Of course, Giddey could be in trouble, both criminally and professionally. The age of onset in California is 18, while it is 16 in Oklahoma. Giddey is currently at... How old is the girl? Let me see, man. They are just... Ooh, they dirty. They dirty, man. They are dirty. Let me see, how old is the girl? Giddey is dating. NBA announced it is investigating, but so too is the as the girl believed to be 15 to 16 at the time of the relationship. Okay. NBA, if Josh Giddey. So it's obvious the boy is having relationships with underage girls, okay? And the handling of it is very, very weak with the NBA, considering that our brother Kyrie Irving, who tweeted. So here we go. Giddey reported dating an underage girl who is 15 years of age. And you guys are trying to suppress this story. You want to suppress this story. I don't know what age this girl is, but we need to see it. Okay, here we go. Newport Beach is investigating this guy. OKC Thunder, Josh Giddey. It's been reported Giddey's relationship with a 50-year-old high school student. None has been proven, but there have been social media posts, including one where a high school girl admitted to spending time with an OKC player. That point to it being true now to Newport. Yeah. So. Okay, NBA, is this what we're doing? Is this what we're doing? Is this what we're doing? When Ja Morant had that gun, I personally got on Ja Morant's ass. Stephen A. Smith, you jumped on Ja Morant's ass. Malika Andrews, you jumped on it. All everybody for a gun. It is legal for people to carry guns in Tennessee, Georgia. This is legal. They stripped him. They took his Nike contract. They stripped him. Kyrie tweeted. Didn't say nothing. Just put a tweet of a book. And they lashed him over the back. This boy dating a 15-year-old. And everybody's turning their head. Come on, man. Come on, give me a fucking break here. Are you serious? He dating a baby. And nobody's saying nothing. But the minute a brother get out of line, y'all want to pull out sticks and shit. And listen, I'm very centered in my leaning and thoughts. But come on, it's totally unfair. Malika Andrews, you need to talk and say something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what black man broke your heart, baby, but you can't just keep tearing brothers down and you got a pedophile running across the league. Of course, Karl Malone got away with it, but that was way before social media. Karl Malone was a monster. If Karl Malone came around doing social media, he'd be under the jail. He'd be right in there with R. Kelly singing right now. So, and Diddy. They all be in one big jail cell, hooping, singing, and dancing. I just find this to be, like, wrong. Like, why are these people not saying anything, especially Malika Andrews, who's very, very voiceful and has very strong opinions of these young black men in the league? But this white boy who has been messing with children is nothing to say. He's okay. Call me, man. Y'all on some bullshit and y'all know it. Call me. Because this is terrible. It's terrible. And nobody got nothing to say. And they suppressing it. And then I even tried to do the benefit of the doubt by saying, okay, well, maybe this kid's from Australia. Statute's limitations. You know, maybe in Australia you can be with a 12-year-old girl. I don't know. You know, with the league going international, they're going to have to adapt to some of these traditions that happen in other countries. But no, this all occurred in U.S., on U.S. soil. And when you're in whatever place you're at, you have to abide by the laws. So Malika, Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp, you all need to address this. And his ass needs to go in front and get his lashings as Kyrie and Ja Morant. I need to see some lashings. What are we doing? Yeah, he not in Australia. That's what I'm saying. I tried to be simple with this, but it's some bullshit. It's like y'all want to beat these brothers down, but you want to let him ride. So, Malika Andrews, get on your job, baby. I know that brother broke, whatever black man broke your heart. Hey, it's over with. Let that hurt. Let that pain go. And do your job. Okay? Get on his ass. And tell Josh Giddey, leave our children alone. Okay? You can't go around sleeping with little girls. This is not the 70s. You're not Elvis. Okay? And I'm not saying that Elvis was right in what he was doing with Priscilla. So there we are with that. Something new. Amazon is coming out with its own healthcare. Well, healthcare. Actually, if you're an Amazon Prime member, Amazon just rolled out a $9 a month healthcare, which is very, very interesting. I'm going to pull that up. Amazon Healthcare. Let me see here. Amazon Health. For $100 a year, you will be able to get healthcare. Amazon acquired a company called One Medical for $8 billion. And I guess you can go around to these doctors. And what will end up happening, you get a doctor on the phone. And, you know, the doctor can diagnose you on FaceTime. And I'm guessing Your prescription will show up in a couple of hours based on Amazon's logistics. You know, the way they have logistics, it'll show up and then you get your medication. So let's take a look at this here. And let me share this screen. Let me see here. Damn. Oh, there it is. Where my screen is. Okay. Amazon introduced a compelling new healthcare benefit for Prime members for only $9 a month. Prime members get high quality, convenient care from One Medical, 24/7 on demand, virtual care nationwide, and easy to schedule office visits at any one of One Medical's hundreds of locations across the U.S., all while saving $100 on the annual membership fee. So they are going to bury themselves in the healthcare. Hopefully it'll open up the market space. I really don't know. But I can say this, it is just over for everything. Doctors' offices, stores, they are coming. It is insane. How does a physician compete with this? Prime members get it for $9 a month, and then you get a whole family plan. You can add up to 5 additional members, each costing just $6 a month, $66 annual. That is insane. 24/7 really is a lifesaver. Oh my goodness, this is insane. All I would tell everybody listening to this, buy you some Amazon stock, because we just all gonna be in the house ordering everything we need, from medication to doctor's visits. So we won't be leaving the house. It'll probably be too hot due to global warming anyway, but you'll be able to get your meds. Amazon has the pharmacy. Is discounted, and plus with healthcare being the way it is right now, with prices through the roof, your deductibles high as hell, it's just ridiculous. So I'm gonna applaud Amazon for doing this. It helps members save with 80% on prescriptions when not using insurance at Amazon Pharmacy and over 60,000 pharmacies. You get every medicine you need for one flat fee of $5 a month and have them delivered free to your doors in 2 days or less. That is insane. How does anybody compete with this, man? Like, Jeff Bezos is Santa Claus. And they've, like, Amazon, you get whatever you want, you hit a button, and it just shows up. It's like magic. This is crazy, man. Yeah, it's a good deal, because you think about it, shout out to L.A. Sotomayor, but you think about it, right? Like, right now, insurance, the deductibles are high as hell. Like, I think for each family member, the deductible is like $2,500 to $5,000. So you don't get really any cover. What insurers do? My son had to have a procedure. The procedure, the cash price, which they show you in these statements, was $30,000 for the procedure. The only thing Blue Cross and Blue Shield does is they come in and discount the procedure down to whatever your out-of-pocket copay is or your out-of-pocket deductible. And they reduce it down lower than that. So that is the only cash the doctor's receiving. Blue Cross Blue Shield hasn't paid anything out-of-pocket. You see what I'm saying? So Blue Cross Blue Shield is able to have this power because they have such a large patient base, so they're able to come in and tell that doctor, this is what we're going to pay you. If you don't want to accept this, we're going to kick you out of our system and use these other doctors who are willing to take it, right? So to me, it would seem as if all these doctors could get together and say, listen, we're no longer taking insurance. Let's all get together. Let's be transparent about our prices and fees. And, you know, if we open up the books a little bit to the public, open up the transparency, then we can get rewarded and increase our patient base based off of service, as any other business does, specifically the dry cleaners, right? So it should be like perfect competition. Like dry cleaners, you go to them because of service, fast service, friendly service, courteousness, things like that. But pretty much the prices have evened out. So the service takes top tier. Bedside manner for doctor. This should be the way to go. But what will end up happening, because as a healthcare, a former healthcare professional, well, we're making the six figures and you're showing up to get your check, and everybody's showing up there getting their check every 2 weeks. We put our head in the sand. This is what most healthcare professionals do. We're just slaves with our head in the sand. And there's a guy in a suit that sits in the office that can't balance a chemical equation that reaps all of the reward and works off the back of the healthcare worker. Where now, I think for a lot of physicians, if they came together and went straight cash, they could win. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Vivian Frazier Moncrief. Moncrief, that's an interesting name. That is definitely a Florida name. Shout out to you. I appreciate you. Also, Arika O'Bannon. Shout out to her, too. But yeah, that is it, man. Amazon's taking over. I guess we will all, as a nation, work for Amazon side by side, either in the warehouse, the pharmacy department, the drone department. I don't, this is what it's looking like. And then I'm watching Amazon get a robot to work in there to even do the heavy lifting of packages. Where are we right now? This is where we're at, I guess. Last but not least, malls, man. Malls were empty for Black Friday, which is to show you guys where we're going. No more malls. We're done with malls. Who goes to the mall anymore? Nobody showed up to the malls for Black Friday. Nobody. Everybody was just in the house. We were able to hit the button. Let's think about this. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a parent. What a time to be alive where, you know, growing up, we watched our parents hustle down to the mall. The malls would be packed because they're trying to get Christmas gifts for us as children. And they're fighting in there and there are fights and people are struggling over computers and just total chaos. And now in 2023, parents are able, from the comfort of their home, to just hit buttons and everything shows up at the front door. What a time to be alive. So, of course, most malls across America are in a death spiral. And I don't know if y'all been in the mall lately, but malls are creepy. The people that work in there are creepy. You go, like, just go to a mall. And the only malls in Atlanta is primarily Phipps, Lenox, and Perimeter. Everything else is dead. All right. The whole mall, like Ansley Mall in Douglasville, the whole mall is lids and jewelry stores. How many jewelry stores? I need my Indian brothers to call me. How many jewelry stores do we need? Jewelry stores, beauty supply, it is just terrible. DTLRs. What's going on? And then you had a little boutiques where they're overselling shit, like only idiots would shop there, because it's like you can't pull out your phone and take a picture of that shit, do a Google search and see where they selling it in China for 40 cents. You gonna stand in this mall and pay $20 for this t-shirt? It's sad. It's sad. Malls were once a place to get away, but I don't know what they're gonna do with them now. And if you're a commercial real estate investor, listen, my hat's off to you. Okay. If you don't just own a bunch of warehouses, shit, I don't know what you're gonna do. Because these pharmacies are going away to block, but everything. What is gonna really get people out of their house? How do we get people to even come out of the house anymore? We all sitting around here, like, we watching this, y'all looking at me on this, like, what? People ain't gonna even leave the house in 10 years, bro. This is where we're going, so it's sad. It's sad. That's where we at, man. All them old malls. Remember, you go, it's packed, it's excited. I remember my teenage years, just walk around the mall, look at the jackets. You know, we gonna miss going in there just rubbing shit. Remember, you go to the mall, just rub on some shit you can't afford. You rub it, you smell it, you look in the mirror, you try it on. The salesman is nice. He holding the coat for you. Keep putting it on. And you know you can't afford it, but you come up with some weak excuse so you can get out of it. Man, I like it. You put the coat over, you're like, man, I like the coat. But you know what it is? It's just the texture. It's something about that texture, man. I ain't gonna do it, man. I like it, though. But the texture of the coat, I ain't gonna do it. So I'm gonna leave it here and get on when we get on, you know. And remember back in the day, too, I think one of the most beautiful things for me, who remembers the first time they put something on layaway? Remember that? Do you all remember that? You would put something on layaway to give you a little ticket, like the shit be $20, right? And then you would put $5 down, and then it'd say $15 balance due. And you show up, and you give them another $5, and it's $10. And you had a layaway. You remember that? That was so cool. And it was a win for both sides, because if you didn't come back to pay it off, they keep whatever little money that you offered, right? And then they could sell it again. So it was a real win-win. And that is that, guys. I think we've come to the end of this. I'm just going to go over some comments here. I see everybody came in. And first of all, I want to shout out each and every one of you for coming in. Thank you all for coming into this. Can y'all still hear me? Can y'all still hear me? Hello, y'all can still hear me? Y'all better say something. Y'all can still hear me? Cool, okay. Appreciate you, Brother Romeo Beza. Thank you. Corleen, thank you for coming in here. L.A. Sotomayor. Shout out to everybody that came in. I'm glad y'all have been enjoying the show, even though we're going to have our hiccups along the way, such as sound not working. I don't know why that shit wasn't working. I don't know. But we did this, y'all. We did it. This was a great show. I love each and every one of you guys. And two, are y'all going to come to some of my comedy shows when I'm performing in the city? I need to know, man. What cities y'all want me to come to do some comedy, to see some live stand up? Don't let this fool you, because I'm really a comedian. Okay, I'm not DJ Academics. Okay, I'm a comedian, but I like to talk to everybody and, you know, just get a vibe. Aretha, you ready for me to come back home to Chicago, baby? Shout out to L.A. Sotomayor and Providence, Rhode Island. I'm going to try to get there. Romeo, Ontario Improv, I'm going to try to get out there. Cali, yes. And two, y'all, if you could, sign up. Go to my website, LeVarWalker.com, and please put your email in there so, like, I could do a blast or whatever, and y'all will know where I'm at. And that's the way we'll be able to get... You saw me in Baltimore, Bunker Podcast. How'd you like it? What's your review of my show in Baltimore? I don't care. Give me the good, bad, and the ugly. What's the review? You saw me in Baltimore. Oh, they came out. They showed me so much love. What you thought about the show in Baltimore, Bunker Podcast? Let me know. Bunker, come in there, bro. Tell me about it. Bunker, I can sit up here with y'all all day. I don't even care, because I just like to talk. So. Bunker, come in here and tell me how you like the show, bro. Come on, Bunker.
Rochester, New York, comedy at the Carlson. I'm trying to get to everywhere I can. Hopefully we get more people in here in these lives and just keep building, and we'll make this thing happen, guys. We can make it happen. But you ain't give me the review, bro. Are you? I'll be telling the truth. Shout out to Angel Harvey. Thank you. My first opener needs more work. I will let him know that. I just try to give everybody the opportunity, man. You know, it's all a growing pain. Well, guys, I guess I'm gonna end this. This is love. I will see you guys tomorrow. This has been great. You know, we ain't have a whole lot of people in here, but we had a lot of love in here today. And that's all I care about. So, and also too, shout out to all my people on YouTube. YouTube is really picking up like crazy. Well, shout out to all my YouTube people. I see y'all over there. And we gonna end this show, man. So listen, this has been another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. I'm gonna be back in here tomorrow at 7 p.m. where we gonna talk about more stupid stuff that's going on in the world. And from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate the support, and I love each and every one of you guys. Wishing you nothing but success, blessings, and health. And we gonna close this out. I will see you all tomorrow. Good night, and God bless.